Speak, O Lord, your servant heareth. Amen. Please be seated. Who are you? This is not the first time I have heard this. I'm glad she's not here today, because I'm going to tell you. My first date with Christine. We had a picnic in Arlington. There's the Arlington Heights is quite high for this area. And from Robin's farm in Arlington, you can see all the way across into the city. And it's a great place. People live in Arlington and Belmont and around there. Whenever there are fireworks, they all come to Robin's farm. But when there's not fireworks, it's completely empty. And so we sat there and had our picnic, and we told each other about who we were. And I could see, I didn't know what to do, but I could see she was becoming more and more suspicious. And toward the end, well, I guess I should tell you why. I don't know what it is, but I've done a lot of things in a lot of different places around the world. And if you kind of add them up, they look like this guy's a criminal. or a CIA agent or a spy or something. And so toward the end of this really lovely picnic, it's dark, it's a nice warm night, and she says, "Who are you?" So we part, and she calls her best friend. Her best friend is an important leader in the world mission in the Presbyterian Church. And since I went to Princeton, which is a Presbyterian school, Christine thought if she called her friend, she could find out who I am. So she called her friend and she said, "Who is he?" Well, she found out and decided to marry me anyway. You can see that I'm still happy. So these people come in groups to John the Baptist. Now, who's John the Baptist? You know, it is really tough to deal with John the Baptist. Do you know why? Do you know how many Johns there are? I mean, people named John? There's John the Evangelist. John the Evangelist, what did he do? He wrote the Gospel of John. So there's John the Evangelist, the writer of the Gospel of John. There is John the Disciple, not the same. John, the writer of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John in the Epistles. And I leave it at, John the Baptist. And so we have all these Johns, and we have to talk about a couple of them at the same time. John tells the story of John the Baptist. Well, not quite. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the three Gospels, plus John being the fourth Gospel, the three Gospels all talk about John the Baptist. Right at the very beginning, all three Gospels agree that at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, the most important thing that happened, not even his temptation, it was that Jesus was baptized by John. And that tells us something, that all three Gospel writers were convinced that the most important thing they could do when they tell the story of Jesus, they're going to write a biography of Jesus, at the very beginning is what? That Jesus was baptized by John. They all agreed about it. And it must be because that was still close enough to the time of Jesus, only written, say, 30, 40, 50 years after Jesus was doing his ministry, that there were enough people around that knew the story about John the Baptist, so the Gospel writers had to deal with it. Why is that? Because it's a bit of a scandal. And we can see the scandal when we look at how John treats the baptism of Jesus. It ain't there. If you read the book of John, you read the section about John the Baptist, doesn't even call him John the Baptist. It just calls him John. There's clearly some discomfort on the part of John the Gospel writer, John the Evangelist. He's very uncomfortable with John the Baptist baptizing Jesus. The first three Gospels aren't embarrassed about it because everybody knew that John the Baptist was baptized by John, that John was baptized by John the Baptist. But for John the Baptist himself, it was a scandal because it implied that John the Baptist was greater than Jesus. Otherwise, why? I mean, who goes out to get baptized by John the Baptist? All the texts tell us, all four now texts tell us, that all the people of Judea and Samaria, they all have come to the Jordan River where John was doing this baptizing. And what was going on? John was calling them to repent. That Israel, he says, has become so corrupt and so unjust that unless we change our ways, we are going to be destroyed. And so all these people come out to be baptized by John the Baptist, and they stand in the Jordan, and John baptizes them. Now, what is baptism? It's an ancient rite. It wasn't invented in the New Testament. It wasn't invented by Christians. It wasn't. It really wasn't even part of Jewish life until much later. But it became a Jewish rite to baptize anybody who wanted to come into the community of Jews. If you were an outsider who wanted to be a member of the Jewish world, you had to be baptized. Baptism was a washing. It was a symbolic cleansing of all the things in the past. And when you went through baptism, you said, I renounce the past. I renounce all other gods. And I am aligning myself to this God. Well, that's what Matthew, Mark, and Luke do. And that's what John does, as long as he's not talking about Jesus. John is scandalized by the fact that Jesus stood in the same line with sinners. John was scandalized that somebody as unimportant as John the Baptist was would actually be baptizing Jesus. For John, the gospel writer John, baptism is very important. And it signifies that the one who is doing the baptizing is greater than the one who was being baptized. Right? That makes sense. Well, John the Baptist, even though John is never called John the Baptist in the book of John, he was scandalized and he decided to cut out the story about Jesus' baptism. It's not in the Gospel of John, even though it's in the three others. So here he is baptizing, and the people are, the crowds are getting larger and larger, and twice in this short little pericope, in this little reading that we read this morning, the question is raised, who are you, John? Who are you to suddenly come into our country and stand in the Jordan River and tell everybody they have to be baptized or the country's going to go to the dogs? And John says, and John the writer then says, he told the truth. He confessed. And what did he confess? He confessed that he was not the Messiah. Well, if you're not the Messiah, then are you the prophet? I am not the prophet. Now, who is the prophet? In ancient Israelite prophecies, there was an expectation that one day a prophet would emerge, a prophet would appear in Israel, and this prophet would bring the good news of God. This prophet would bring the word of God, and that would be a signal that the eons are shifting. That is, the kingdoms, the world is shifting. That when the prophet comes, this prophet that's long foretold from the past, when this prophet comes, he will signify that everything is about to change. Everything is about to change. The kingdom of God is coming, and when the kingdom of God comes, it is going to be wonderful for some and not so wonderful for others. For the ones who have suffered, they will be raised. For the ones who have caused the suffering, they will suffer. In the second half of this little reading, a group of men come down from Jerusalem. Jerusalem is, where John is baptizing, is it's in the northwest, northeast suburb of Jerusalem. So John is in the Jordan River in the northeast suburb of Jerusalem. And a delegation sent by the priests in the temple, some Pharisees and scribes, they deputize a group of men to go to talk to John, find out what on earth he's doing, why is he doing, what authority does he have, and what does it all mean. So they do. They go to John. They go to the river. Do they get baptized? Probably not. But maybe they did. We don't know. But they ask him. They say, who are you? What are you doing? Are you the Messiah? Now, let's be clear what they're looking for. They are sent by the religious leaders in Jerusalem to find out if the Messiah is coming or has come. And if so, they are in trouble and they know it. Because they know that when Messiah comes, those people who have been corrupt and cruel and have been thieves, basically, robbing from the poor, they will be dealt with harshly. So it's no surprise that the religious leaders sent a delegation to John to find out, are you the one who's expecting to come? Are you the Messiah? John says, I'm not the Messiah. Are you the prophet? I am not the prophet. Are you Elijah? Part of the prophecy is that Elijah himself, the great Elijah, the prophet, will come back and will be a Messiah. Are you Elijah? I am not Elijah. Well, who are you then? And he doesn't give him an answer. He says, he doesn't say who he is. He says what he does. He says, I am doing what Isaiah did, and I am standing in the footsteps of Isaiah. And I say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives. And that the rough places will be made plain, and the way of God, the way of the Messiah, will be made plain and clear, and able for whole nations to be able to walk on the path that Isaiah and now John the Baptist is creating. Who are you? In a way, I'm the new Isaiah. I'm the one who is telling you that a Messiah is coming. I am not he. I'm not the prophet. I'm not Elijah. And then he says, he points, in a sense, to him. There is the one that you are to follow. There is the one who is bringing the change. There is the one who is bringing the kingdom of God. There is the one who's going to ring the changes on this society and on the corruption and cruelty of this society. And yet you don't even know him. John doesn't bring the new order. John doesn't is not the Messiah. John doesn't bring change. John points to the change. The coming of Jesus is the coming of God. John testifies to the coming of Jesus and therefore testifies to the coming of God to our lives. When Jesus Christ comes to the world, God comes. When God comes to the world, God comes to us, to be with us, to live in us, to make a difference in our lives, and to change the world. The coming of Jesus is the coming of God, the coming into our lives. Alleluia.